Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
We lift our eyes up to the hills, Almighty God, and we ask for your help. You are the shade at our right hand. You are the lamp to our feet. You are the light to our path. And yet we confess that we think we can do it alone. May prayer, may conversation with you come first. May it come first. May we know and hear your word speaking to us through prayer, through silence, and from looking up to the hills, knowing that is where our help comes. Oh, you are ruler of heaven and earth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, Holy One. Amen. I'm sure you are all very, very aware that last week there was some really disappointing news. And that, of course, is that the Chicago Cubs lost to the Milwaukee Brewers in the elimination game. And as a Cub fan, I have to tell you that I'm used to losing. That's what we do well. I do not believe my allegiance to the Cubs because we win. That's not the point. Being part of being a Cub fan is being persistent despite the lost games and grateful that you are not a White Sox fan. After the game, I was perturbed by a picture of the Brewers team as they stood for their winning picture, holding up an L banner to mock the Cubs' W banner that is waved after a win. Jokes that are the expense of others always fall flat. In comedy, this is called punching up versus punching down. Americans have traditionally responded more positively to humor that punches up rather than punches down. To punch up means to make a joke out of the expense of those who have more power and privilege or property than the audience or the humorist. Punching down is the opposite, mocking or disparaging someone or some group that is less influential, privileged, or affluent than are the mocker and his audience. There was once a judge who found enjoyment in punching down and never saw the purpose in punching up. He was corrupt, he was unjust, and he was indifferent to the sufferings of others. He held a lot of power and with the flip of his pen would dismiss the needs of others. There once was a widow who came to the judge seeking justice. We don't know the case or the situation, but we do know that she was seeking justice. We also know that widows were at the very bottom of the social class. She held no power, she had no papers, she had no resources, she had no family. And what we also know about her is that she was relentlessly persistent. She was like a gnat flying around the judge's face. She would not give up. She was there in court every morning, and she would stay until the last hearing every night, waiting, pleading, demanding to be heard. And finally, the judge realized that if he doesn't do something, she would make a fool out of him. He says he will appease her so that she may not wear me out. Now, here's the fun Greek for you today. Literally, the text says, I'm going to appease her so that she doesn't give me a black eye. So she doesn't punch me in the face. Now, you can decide if he was being satire here, satirical here, or if he was literally afraid that this gal was going to punch him in the face. The unjust judge simultaneously recognizes, if he doesn't want to admit it, that his inaction may lead this woman to take physical action, and he might be leading her to the point of expressing her frustration through violence and getting beaten up by a woman, even for someone who doesn't care what people think about him, is just a bridge too far. So in order to save face, both literally and physically, the judge will finally do the right thing. Sometimes you have to be like the widow and keep punching up, even while you are being punched down. The late Senator John Lewis would call this making good trouble. It isn't trouble for trouble's sake, but it is troubling of the ways things are, motivated by a deep and abiding love that we then put into action. Senator Lewis explained, it's the way of being. It's a way of action. It's not necessarily passive. It has the capacity. It has the ability to bring peace out of conflict. It has the capacity to stir things up in order to make things right. Jesus tells the story to compare God to the unjust judge and to say, unlike the unjust judge who does not care, our God is a God of justice who does care. So keep praying. Pray as the first thing you think of, not as a reaction, but as the beginning of the conversation. Keep praying. Don't pray as a last resort. Pray as a first response. Pray knowing your prayers are heard. Jesus tells this story to compare God to the widow. God is persistent in seeking justice. God does not give up, will not give up, and will always punch up, even if the world keeps punching down. God will keep fighting for justice. God will be persistent in being known, in showing love, and bringing life out of death. Jesus caused a lot of good trouble. He still does. Senator Lewis told this story from his childhood as a parable of our nation's struggle to overcome the issues of race and other issues that divide us. He said, when I was growing up outside of Troy, Alabama, about 50 miles from Montgomery on a farm, I'd had an aunt by the name of Savina. And my Aunt Savina lived in a shotgun house. And I know what I'm talking about this morning because I was born in a shotgun house. Now, I know you do not know what a shotgun house is when I'm talking about because you may not have ever lived in a shotgun house, but my Aunt Savina lived in a shotgun house. She did not have a green manicured lawn. She had a simple plain dirt yard. And sometimes at night you could look through the holes of the ceiling of the tin roof and come to the stars. When it would rain, she would get a pail and a bucket or a tub and catch the rainwater. And from time to time, she would walk into the woods and take branches from a dogwood tree and tie these branches together and make a broom. And she called that broom a brush broom. And she would sweep that dirt yard very clean, and sometimes two or three times a week, but especially on Friday or Saturday, because she wanted the dirt yard to look good on the weekend. My Aunt Savina lived in a shotgun house. And for those of you who may not know what a shotgun house is, and in a nonviolent sense, a shotgun house is an old house with one way in and one way out where you can bounce a basketball through the front door and it would end up in the back door. On a military sense, an old house with one way in and one way out, out in the tin roof where you can fire a shotgun through the front door and the bullet will go straight through the back door. My Aunt Savina lived in a shotgun house. On a Saturday afternoon, a group of my brothers and sisters and a few of my first cousins, there were 12 or 15 of us children, were out playing in my Aunt Savina's dirt yard and an unbelievable storm came up. The wind started blowing and the thunder started rolling and the lightning started flashing and the rain started beating on the tin roof of this old shotgun house. And my aunt was terrified and she thought the old house was going to blow away. And she got all of us children together and she told us to hold hands. And we did as we were told. And the wind continued to blow and the thunder continued to roll and the lightning continued to flash and the rain continued to beat on the tin roof of this old shotgun house. And we cried and we cried and we cried. And then one corner of the house started to lift up. And we ran over with our little bodies and we tried to hold down the house. Well, then when another side, on the other side of the house, started lifting, she had us run over there. And we were little children walking in the wind, but we never left the house. Lewis concludes, friends, the storms may come, the winds may blow, the thunder may roll, the lightning may flash, and the rain may be down on this old house we call America, but we must never, ever, ever leave the house. Stay persistent. Persistent in prayer, persistent in love, persistent in hope, persistent in peace. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer is what happens when we send out a thread of light for hope for people we do not know and will never meet because we care about their livelihoods. We care about mothers and fathers and children just like us. Praying for others are threads that connect us to God and God's people. And when we pray for one another on behalf of someone else, we become connected to that person through God. We become connected to God through that person. And in these connections, God responds. These threads of prayer are woven through space and time in our lives, and they are like a network through which God sends God's own love to the world. Sometimes along the way, you might get punched down. Sometimes along the way, it may hurt. But the more you see suffering and injustice around you, and the more you pray, and the more you pray for others, the more connected you are to the suffering, and the more connected you are to that suffering, the more connected you are to the crucified and risen Christ. For these threads of prayer which connect us to God and to one another and even to our enemies are how God is stitching our broken humanity back together. So church, pray without ceasing. Be persistent in prayer and do not lose heart. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.